Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
Back it again, I will never stop. I say switching up my sound like this, I get unorthodox, but stay true to the game, faithful to it like it's orthodox. So Christian, while you listen, I be pissing haters off a lot, like urinals at your funeral. I picked you out a lot, that's godforsaken in the earthquake. I left an aftershock, major mommy tsunami. Hope you know she's on my job, cause I get athletic with it. My etiquette be off the charts, been hot since awesome to Marley Mar, red alert and Chuck chill out. Ever since Uncle Rob put me on video music box, killing shows at Latin Court. The red parrot and rooftop, known for doing the jeans, having all the girlies locked. 25 years in the game and it's still in a nigga heart. While you standing on corner staring, I'm just calling you block watch, tenant patrol. What I'm building like penthouse, I stay on top, above the ground and out of jail. You know I'm thinking out the box. I got more 60s than the Army, Navy, and Marines. My mental capacity's like an unlimited magazine. To light you up and lead the way like lanterns filled with kerosene. Call your girls to jump on me, you start flipping like trampoline. Your lady mean might get the gavel, gas her up like gasoline. Plus you kinda regular, with me you dealing with Supreme. Being coming from the old school, so I'm OGing. Off on you, pause, off on her, I'm just cuskeeting. I ain't messing around, if she ovulating. She calls me baby daddy, but we don't have no children. Shit, I strike it down her lane, knock it down both lanes. Slide off with a cold, I guess you can call that ice skating. Nah, ma, you can't lock me down, I'm just speed dating. And if that hotel, my service will get 5-star rating. I Obama your mama, cause she said it's time for change. Casanova player, president, no need for debating.
Alright, good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had Rachel Smith with the GQ General Question. We had our first model, Bella Rose, a.k.a. Thick Sation. Then we had up-and-coming artist Ivy Marie and played her smashing single, Can't Back Down. After Ivy Marie, we had our special guest appearance, the first female of hip-hop from the Funky Four Plus One More, MC Sha-Rock, who gave us some knowledge on hip-hop. To hear last weekend's show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out the archive. Also, on Mondays from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., check out GQ Palace Radio, Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas, a grown and sexy adult. Number 646-3838. Press 1 to go. You go to Blog Talk link on your PC and punch in GQ Palace and check out the segments of the show. We will also be having different topics for each show of the week coming up soon. Now, this evening, we have another amazing show for y'all. We have Brian Donovan with the GQ General Question. We have coming this GQ, and we will be playing his smashing single 215 and finding out what his next step is in the music industry. And for the last part of our segment, we have special guest appearance, the Manhattans is in the building. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Brian and his GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fire, baby!
Uh-huh.
I started something. I got what I wanted. Didn't I? Can't feel nothing. Superhuman. Even when I'm fucking Viagra popping. Every single record. Auto tuning. Zero emotion. Muted emotion. Pitch corrected. Computed emotion. I blame it on a model bra with a Hollywood smile. Ow. Stripper booty in a rack like wow. Brain like Berkeley. Met her at Coachella. I went to see Jigga. She went to see Z Trip. Perfect. I took a seat on the ice cold lawn. She handed me an ice blue bong. Whatever. She said she wanna be a dentist really bad. She's in school paying for tuition, doing porn in the valley. At least you're working, but girl, I can't feel my face. What are we smoking anyway? She said don't let the high go to waste. But can you taste, little taste, Novocaine, baby? Novocaine, baby, I want you. Fuck me good, fuck me long, fuck me numb. Love me now when I'm gone, love me none. Love me none, love me none. Numb, 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 numb. Sink full of dishes, pacing in the kitchen. Cocaine for breakfast, yikes. Bed full of women, flip on a tripod. Little red light on, shooting, I'm feeling like Stanley Kubrick. This is some visionary shit. Been trying to film pleasure with my eyes wide shut, but it keeps on moving. I blame it on a model bra with the Hollywood smile. Stripper booty with a rack like wow. I'll never forget ya. You put me on a feeling I never had, never had, never had. And ever since I've been trying to get it back. You pick it up and put it back. Now I'm something like the chemist on campus, but there's no drug around. Quite like what I found in you. I still can't feel my face. What am I smoking anyway? She said don't let the high go to waste. But can you taste, little taste, Novocaine, baby, baby. Fuck me long, fuck me now. Love me now when I'm gone. Love me now. Love me now. Love me now. Now, 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 now. Novocaine, 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 Novocaine. Numb the pain, numb the pain, numb the pain, numb the pain, numb the pain. Novocaine, 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 Novocaine. For the pain, for the pain. Novocaine, Novocaine.
Welcome to the show. Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know if I'm saying your last name correctly, please, sir. Huh? Brian Donovan Graham.
Brian Donovan. You wanted me to throw the Graham in there too? Oh, my
right.
Boy.
It's all good. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't going to throw the Graham in there. What's going on, Brian?
Oh, man, just, doing what I do, just music and everything, you know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah,
thinking about going into some comedy, too.
Oh,
I think I'm I think I'm trying to touch everything right now.
I hear you. No question. So, would you like to tell the listeners a little something about yourself?
Well, I'm a Southern brother from, Florence, South Carolina. Big up to my peoples down in Flowtown. You know what I'm saying? My man Bomba Dane. Big up my man Buddha Rat. Mark Borden. Mark Ella Vincent, DJ. My man Arch. Prep Love. You know what I'm saying? I've been up here since like 93. I came up here in New York like 93 off of a deal from being offered the lead singer for Blackstreet with Teddy Riley. And that deal didn't go through because of my producers in discrepancies or whatever. Because I wasn't business savvy back in those days. I was letting everybody else help handle my business. And so that deal didn't go through. Second deal I had was an independent label with Worldwide Records up here in New York. And had Mark the Spark, who did Shoot for Salt and Pepper, Grand Poopa 2000, Grave Diggers. Few other people, and he produced my album along with Anthony Hamilton. He set up an EMI distribution deal for $1.7 million, and the day that we were supposed to sign, with as far as us flying out to sign and all that, the label got raided by feds because the label was being used as a laundering for drugs and such and blah, blah, blah. So needless to say, that didn't happen.
So, when you come on as an artist next week, because I got you coming on as an artist, you're going to have to repeat all this.
Yeah. Ain't no problem. I have no problem. Okay. I have no problem.
All right. Well, let us know, what's your topic for this evening?
I'm saying it's just time for change, man. It's really time for change. That's a topic that, you know, I would like to touch, you know what I'm saying? And with that change, it's like if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results, you know. So, you know, if we want different results, we got to change, you know what I'm saying? I think one of the things I wanted to touch on was why is it that everything that they show on everything, as far as TV or whatever the case is, when it comes to anything that's related to anything biblical, that every picture they show is white. Even like in the back of the days when they showed the Ten Commandments, they showed Pharaoh, who's supposed to be king of Egypt, in the hottest part of the world, you know what I'm saying, near the equator, as a white man, you know, and they showed all the prophets and everybody else as people of Caucasian descent, when that's false. And that falsehood right there has covered up the truth that we are the people of Israel that the Bible speaks of, and we are the people that God made the covenant and agreement with to uphold through our ancestors up to now. And because of us breaking that disagreement, along came with the disagreement came curses, which we have already suffered for at least 400 years or so now. You know, which is all written, and it's like, until we wake up, there's a saying in the Bible, there's a quote that says, if my people, he's talking about his people, if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I would hear from heaven, and I would forgive their sins, and I would heal their land. Now, if you don't think we need this land right now healed right now with all the immoral things that's going on media-wise or any other way, blatant disrespect and degradation of what is holy,
what they don't consider holy anymore, you know.
No.
We've turned our back on one of the first commandments that says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And we have people bowing down to statues, even carrying crosses as a graven images, you know. You know, there's a lot of things that come along with curses, and you know, if you don't know curses and blessings, then you're not going to understand, or a lot of people won't understand the concept of what I'm saying or what's being said, you know.
Now, let me ask you, though, what made you choose that specific topic?
What made me choose that specific topic? Because we still suffering as a people. I mean, we, no matter how many different people come from other different countries, they're going to always be above us until we do what we're supposed to do, because while we at the bottom and not on the top, regardless if we got a black president as a face, a face man, because if you don't know nothing about politics, that's easy. Everybody that's in position right now is just puppets. They got to be they're controlled by a higher power. But anyway, that higher power knows that the reason why the higher power can reign the way it reigns and overbear and have authority is because we allowed it as a people, because none of this would have happened if we would have not broken our covenant. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, hold on. Let me get a number. I'm going to let you continue, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dons and Divas, the phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to speak to Brian, or stay on the line to hear the show. Okay, Brian, you said that it was us that made that problem, right?
Yeah, we as a people, not as in this generation like you per se, but from all the way from before this, they brought us over here in ships and all that. If you know anything about the Old Testament, when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments and he seen everybody, they couldn't wait for Moses. I think Moses probably took like 3 months to come back down from the mountain, and they got impatient and say, Moses has left us. Let us make us a graven image and serve another god. And so they took all the gold off and melted the golden calf, and they started worshiping the calf and doing all sexual immoralities, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway,
where did you get this information from?
Well, first of all, this comes from the Bible. That's the Bible.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't speak, you know, on based on my own whatever. I'm speaking on with the Bible to back me, because this is all I know. I've read the Bible since I was 3 years old, and I've read the Bible all 66 books at least 3 times. You know what I'm saying? So it's embedded in me. It's embedded in my, you know, in my spirit, I should say. You know what I mean?
Some Bibles have different meanings.
Yeah,
everybody's Bible ain't the same.
I hear all that, but there's only listen, I put this question to everybody, and a lot of people can't answer, and it's this. You always heard of Antichrist, right?
Okay.
Have you ever heard of anti-Buddhism?
Buddhist.
Have you ever heard of anti-Hare Krishna?
Okay.
Have you ever heard of anti-Scientology, which is another religion that worships the sun and science and all that? You don't hear none of that. It's always against Christ. So there must be something behind that. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
Because the same way that Christ suffered as the black man that he was, because he would have not been born as a Caucasian. You know what I'm saying?
So maybe in your eyes, you're saying the Jesus Christ, you know, the man that suffered, his father was a black man.
I'm saying that all from Adam and Eve and all the prophets from Noah, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, All the prophets that God used in the Bible were men of color. They might have been different shades, but they were men of color. They were the people that peel when the natural environment that they live on, a planet that they're supposed to be from, you know, their skin is peeling. You know what I'm saying? That's not natural. That's a curse that was placed on Cain when he slew his brother Abel, and he was banished from the land. And everywhere he went, he was chased away because there was a mark set on him. The mark was the pigmentation was taken out of his skin. Now, yeah, there are different shades of people, and you know the science of the migrations of different continents and different weather precipitation. So after you live near years, the darker became a little lighter and all that. But that's aside from, that's natural. But aside from that, the Canes, the Caucasian, was chased to the land of Canaan, where the Caucasian mountains are, where the Caucasian come from. That's why they call them Caucasian. Now, and this is not about racism. It's about our people really realizing who we are.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know,
Brian,
what I'm saying?
Hold on, because
you know?
We actually have a caller on the line.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to bring that caller on.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have Brian.
Hello,
on the
Brian.
Line. Here's topic.
How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
All right.
Well, I mean, this is a unusual topic, but it's a deep topic. And my thing is, you know, that's what's wrong with the world today with color, race, whatever. You know, and when we go to heaven or hell, there's no special place for the white, black, Mexicans, whatever, you know. And I don't know. I would have to dig deeper into my Bible on this subject, you know, and not saying that it's not a good subject. I'm just saying, you know, this race thing, you know, my thing is, will it ever end? You know, because it's all about either the white people or the black people. You know, and it's going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of our life. You know, we can't change what's on the earth. That's for sure. We can't change it. You know, we can bring about a change. And, you know, I think we've done that with the president. But, you know, it's neither here nor there that, you know, God is black, white, pink, or orange.
Wait, give me 1 minute, hello? Ryan,
yeah.
are you like close to your radio and you got the speakers on?
Not anymore.
Okay, because that's, all right.
It was echoing.
Some feedback from somewhere, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like I said, it's a deep topic.
Yeah, it's a untouched topic because someone put the red tape on, let's not talk about it, because people have different views and different this and different that or whatever. But, and for those who goes to and say, well, the Bible was written by the white man, or the Bible was written by King James, and people don't even know the whole full story about that King James thing. Yeah. It was King James that had to put his stamp of approval on it, on the Bible, because in those days of kingdomship, that you could not post or write anything posted in any king's kingdom without the king's permission, which showed his insignia or his whatever. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Since it was in his kingdom. After he read the Bible himself, he converted from his homosexuality and all that, whatever he was doing, and converted. And that's why he allowed the Bible to be published throughout his kingdom, but his insignia saying it was allowed. That's why it was called the King James.
Yeah.
You understand?
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, yes, I believe in God and everything, but You know, the words that you're speaking, you know, I can't say yay or nay to you. I mean, you know, yes, I was raised up in the church. I haven't dug that deep, like I said, into the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certain quotes I can quote you on that I can't really just per se that, you know, what you were saying. And don't get me wrong, I'm not doubting you.
Right.
But, you know, these are words that's coming from your mouth.
Right.
You know, and everybody is going to have a different perspective about this situation, period, whether it be black, white, pink, purple, or orange, again,
But you know what? I'm so far from talking about race or racism.
Uh-huh.
It's about, you know how wonderful I felt when I found out, really, my eyes were really open, like, whoa. Let's wipe the slate. Hold on. Adam and Eve was black. Da-da-da-da was black. It made me feel as a, you know what I'm saying, it was like a reawakening. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You ever heard the thing about the sleeping giant? That if they keep drugging the giant to keep him asleep, so he can't, because once he's up, he's stomping all the roaches. He's stomping everything around once he's
right.
up.
All right.
Right.
Give me a minute. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have another call I want to bring on the line real fast, all right? Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello,
yeah.
All right. You're on the line with Brian Donovan. You heard his topic for this evening?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what's your
topic.
Point of view on it?
First, I want to say, how you doing, Brian?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well. That's a very good topic. I, myself, am a believer of God, right? And you made a good point. The first one was, it's not about race. I'm also familiar about the Caucasian part when it comes to the Caucasus Mountain, you know what I mean? So it's where the word Caucasian comes from, but again, we're not talking about race. And what I believe is that, another point you made is that when people are going to change is when people try to make the first change inside themselves. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. God says we will not change the condition of the people until they change the condition within themselves. So until
mm-hmm.
then, we always going to have chaos and confusion that we're talking about. You know what I mean? And how is it that some people say that they believe in God? Just my opinion, right? And then when you read the Bible, it speaks about what you spoke about the idols. How God said, I'm a jealous God. Do not worship anything but me, the idols and pictures. You know what I mean? And
right.
last but not least, given the time of Jesus' birth, being born in a desert, and traveling during that time, it is impossible to say that he was born on Christmas. Now, I'm not trying to switch the subject. I'm just going
right.
to maybe making comments on several things that you said. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because really, this topic is so deep that I got lost a little bit in it. You know what I mean?
Okay, but how do you know if he's black or white? You don't, right?
Well, because a person like myself, right? Me believing what I believe in and doing my own research, right? In the beginning, God spoke about in the beginning there was darkness. There was always darkness before there was light, period. And then became the others, you know what I mean? And given the time, again, of the birthplace of Jesus, right? He was actually born in Ethiopia. Now, if you study the map and you know throughout the years and the decades, geographically, the map changes. So if you do the research on Ethiopia, right, you would know that it's in the Bible that Jesus was born. Now, you can't say, even today, you can't say a white man, as he was born and raised in Ethiopia, that's white. Everybody in Ethiopia is black. The original Jews are African or black people by skin. So this is how I know.
All right, well, what's going on right now is Brian's phone is giving us a lot of feedback. So we're trying to find out exactly what's wrong with his phone. We understand. But like
okay.
I was explaining to him, you know, it's more than one Bibles out here.
Exactly.
You're right. You're
you
right.
Understand? Nobody, everybody want to predict that God is black, God is white. But who could ask?
Nobody knows.
Exactly.
Nobody can say that. I mean, for certain.
Is that what?
Even Methuselah couldn't even say that. And he's the oldest, he's, from what I understand, he's the oldest that was the oldest. But, I mean, even to, you can get into these ministers that's like 90 years old. They're not going to come out and tell you that God is black or white.
Okay, okay, you're right. You know what the difference is? I'm just saying the difference is that when you talk about God, you talk about me. When I mention God, I'm talking about that one person, right? The creator of the heavens and the earth. Now when you talk about Jesus, we talk about two different people. You can consider Jesus the messenger, right? Who came to the world to bring the message to the people. And this is what the Bible also said. He came to bring the message to the people, just like Moses did. Now, we have God, like Jesus said, I am only a human being. I come to do my Father's work. So it depends on when you say God, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus.
Well,
I
consider
Jesus
and God the same person.
Well, you see, that's the thing. Because Jesus even said, he is how he is not. He came to do his Father's work, the one who created him. So every Bible that you read is going to say that same thing. But yet there's different Bibles. But there are certain things that everybody you read is going to say the same thing. So how could you debate that?
Debate what? Of Jesus and God being the same person?
Right.
That's my
Jesus said, okay.
May I interject? Well, I'm going by the King James 1611 version, okay? And in that, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was a representation of God on earth. He was the Son of God. He is who he say he is. You know what I'm saying? And you either believe or you don't believe. That's the condition of our salvation, from us having the curse that was set upon us because we messed up on the first covenant in the Old Testament, as they call it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus came. God came in the flesh of Jesus. He went through Mary. If it's easy for you to believe that God can take sand or dust and create man and blow breath in him and make him, why should it be hard for a person to believe that God can enter his spirit within a woman and form a flesh and have and be formed and come out as a human flesh and filled with God's spirit? You're doing what he had to do, because none of us could have done what he has done and suffered all the things that he suffered.
You're right.
Now that's understandable on that part. Now, where does the God being black come in at?
Exactly.
Where that comes in at is because the Garden of Eden was located. There's two rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. It's only in Africa, the Nile River and the, say it again, you spoke of it earlier, the Ethiopian River.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are two rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden from which they were created in Africa. So it's that's common sense right there. All right.
That still doesn't make him black.
Exactly.
Come on.
Break it down.
It still doesn't make him black because it came from Africa and Ethiopia. To me, it still doesn't make God black. You know,
you know
for a fact that God is black?
Hey, look.
That's my point.
Where was Jesus sacrificed?
He
was sacrificed in Rome. All right? Jesus suffered the same thing we have suffered, the curses, you know what I'm saying, on the cross and throughout his whole ministry, right?
Okay.
What makes him black is there's called a 12 tribes of Israel. As I was talking about the Moses coming down from the mountain, and he separated, the part I didn't finish was that when Moses came down and saw what was going on, he was appalled, and he took the commandments, and he slammed them down, and he broke in two. And so God told Moses, separate the people. Those who want to serve Baal, which was the god that they served, the sun god, the shape of a bull, golden calf, whatever, let them stay on the left side. The ones that want to repent and serve me, they stay on the right side. Once that was done, the earth swallowed up those who wanted to serve Baal. All right? Now, God made an agreement. That was the time of the agreement between the 12 tribes of Israel when God made the agreement with them on keeping his covenant, the Sabbath day, all the Ten Commandments, and all that kind of stuff. And that was the agreement that he made with us. And we turned our back and started serving heathen gods and other nations' gods and whatever things like that. And
okay.
That's why we ended up.
But to me, it sounds like you mainly basing it on Allah in a different format.
Allah? No. I call him Yahweh by his Hebrew name. His Hebrew name is Yahweh. Hebrew Yahweh, the first language. That's
okay.
Yahweh, and Jesus is Yahshua, because there's no state in Hebrew language.
Can I make a comment on that?
You're talking about the Bible, so you're stating all this is coming from one specific Bible, because every Bible is not the same.
When I began, the first thing I said was, I am making reference to the King James Version, 1611.
That's what I said. Okay, I didn't hear that part.
So that nobody can know or dwindle to some other book that I'm not talking about. I'm talking about what I know. I can't speak on those other things. You know what I mean? I know about witchcraft. I know about psychic astrology and all that kind of stuff. I'm aware of those things too. You know what I'm saying? But all those are the things that was in the Bible too, about people that did that and the curses that came on them. All these things is written. Our whole history is written there, and they keeping you asleep with you don't read the Bible. Oh, there's other gods and this, that, and the other. And we living contrary to nature. You know what I'm saying? I wrote on Facebook one time, just like the Bible says, we like dogs that return to our vomit. God delivered us from all that stuff where we wouldn't have to be on the base and on the bottom of the trail. Whenever they think about poverty as a nation, they think about what? Us. You know what I'm saying? Because that's part of the curse. And until we repent and accept Christ for what he has done for us on the cross and shed his blood and get ourselves right, including myself, and I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm just saying that I'm saying this not just to everybody. I'm saying it to myself, also the main number one person. You know what I'm saying? So that now after I get myself right and when I speak the things I'm speaking now, there's power behind it. You know what I'm saying? See, right now it's not just power. I'm just speaking on knowledge and what I've learned from what I've read and what I've experienced in life and see that the prophecies that have already been spoken coming to fruition right in front of everybody's eyes, you know?
Okay, I'd like to make a comment. First of all, this topic like this scares the mess out of me. That's where I'm at with my faith. Now, a lot of things were said. I read the Bible, I read the Quran. Wherever I lean towards more, I believe in both, I read both. Where I lean more towards the Quran. We're not going to debate what book is right, which one is wrong. I'm just saying.
I ain't going there.
Okay, right. Now, what I'm saying is that in my belief, in my research and reading, doing the Bible and the Quran, right, is that Jesus said how he spoke about I and my Father are one. I also believe he said in spirit. Now, T, I can answer your question to my best of my ability, whether you accept it or not, is that I don't know God. In my belief, God, I don't know what God looks like. I have no, if he's black, white, orange, I do not know.
Man has seen the Father.
I know Jesus is a black man. I can say that. I also know that in the Bible, how Jesus, now we speak about certain things, how this Bible says that and this verse says that. I also know the difference how Jesus speaks in the Bible, how he says how he must leave, right? In this paraphrase, how he must leave. And when he leaves, you know, the Comforter will come. And if I do not leave, the Comforter will not come. But when he comes, he will speak about me. Now, when he says he, we know we're talking about another human being. So it is my belief, again, in my research, when you say the Comforter, we're talking about the next messenger, right? We're talking about
the Holy Spirit.
Well, okay, you say the Holy Spirit. I say the next prophet, which is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bottom line.
Okay.
Bottom line. So, you know, who's to say God
you're saying that all these different faiths are fake? Are you saying that?
I would never say that because, again, it also my belief is that whatever one person believes in, you know what, to you be your way, to me be mine. You believe in that? That's cool. I'm not going to say that. Yours is fake and mine is real. I know where I'm at. This is where I want to be. This is where I'm going to be. This is where you want to be. All right, cool. And that's it. I'm not going to say you're fake.
Honestly, I was just making a statement. I mean, right now I am actually asking someone that's my sister, she's a minister. I'm also have a cousin that's a minister. And this is a deep topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's the topic that you're supposed to be talking about.
It's a very good topic.
It's a very,
very, very
beautiful
good topic.
As long as we keep it, you know, nobody's getting violent or nothing like that. Because
there's no violence on the station.
It's not
about, it's not about race. It's about
knowing
being
your culture.
Aware
that's mainly what it's about.
Are, being aware who we are on this earth.
Yes, sir.
Who we are on this earth as his people, when he say his people. You know what I'm saying? And it's
actually,
not to say that if you Caucasian, you can't be saved because Jesus came to save all who will accept all.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because we,
that.
As his people, have been the rebellious one. He called us a stiff-necked people. His people, a stiff-necked people. Because we are. You know what I mean?
And
that's why we suffer the things we suffer, is what I'm my point. And if we don't want to suffer anymore the way we are suffering, we, each and every individual of us, has to come to awareness of this, first of all, you know, in order to want to change. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a great feeling to know, listen, hey, I'm a descendant of God. I am a descendant of, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what that feels like. I mean, if that don't excite you, I don't, you know, maybe you're lost, you know, something in your spirit or something, because it's like, yo, that's a great awareness to know, wow, all the time from a child, all I knew was Adam and Eve was white, so-and-so was white, Joseph, Jacob, Abraham, da-da-da, everybody was white. And then so in your mind, as from a child enough, you're programmed thinking a certain way because of this.
You know,
when you come into realization, like, wow, oh, so all this time they've been hiding this. It's like this is the cover. The if you don't know who you are, how you gonna know
where you're going?
Where you going? I mean, what to even
you
do
know,
next?
Honestly, I wish that I would have known this question ahead of time, because I would have had a few people. I mean, that's deep into religion. To been on this line, and
I don't believe in religion.
Religion is something that's man-made.
I don't believe in religion. Religion means to rely on. I don't rely on anybody but God and His word. And I don't.
Wow.
I don't rely on any jun or legion.
What you believe in?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's the thing. You got to be able to challenge preachers nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
Can I read something that my sister just wrote?
What?
Yeah, listen. I'm listening.
Okay, she says, God is neither black, white, Greek, nor Jew.
Right.
He is a spirit, and not one has seen him at any time
lived
to tell it.
That's
he created man in his image. That means we are free mortal agents, able to think and walk and talk and make right or wrong choices.
That's
God
right.
is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and truth.
And in
he
truth.
Created man to have fellowship with him. Out of one man,
yep.
Adam and Eve, came all of creation, the human race.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
All right, listen. Hello?
Wait,
we have another caller on the air. All right.
Okay. We didn't see God.
Okay.
We didn't see God.
I want to bring this caller in, and I want y'all to listen to this caller that's coming on the air, okay?
Right. Yeah, I want to do.
This is Reverend Tarmin Edmond, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Reverend, you on the air? Hello?
Yes, indeed.
Hello,
yes.
Reverend Tarmin Edmond?
How you doing, Reverend?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, Reverend? I just want to make I just want to reply to real quick before you make your interjection.
Mm-hmm.
to the what was read. Yes, you're right. I'm not going to dispute what the word says. What she says is in line with what the word of God said. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But the spirit of God was in Jesus, in whom fleshly eyes saw. So that's who was the representative of God, of Yahweh, Jehovah, you know, the one and true only God of creation. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We haven't seen the spirit God, but we've seen Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I wanted to say on that part. My apologies, Rev. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay.
Hello, Reverend, you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Now, one of the things that, is not really taught to us, and all the pictures that we've known and seen of him, he's always been portrayed as a white man with blue eyes and long, stringy hair. But when you look at the description that is given to about him in Revelation, it does not describe him in that content.
Right.
And then so we do know for sure that in the area where Egypt is, that is all. That is in a central location, a part of Africa.
Yes,
so
sir.
He would be a dark-skinned person.
Yes,
right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, from that lets us know because, see, we are the one that got hung up on color and started separating things. But we know in the area that that he was born and brought up in, he was too close to the sun for him to be a pale-skinned person.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so therefore we look at the contents of his skin as being a dark shade man.
Yes,
exactly.
You know, so I would consider that to be a brother or a black man per se.
Right. Okay.
And see, but we, like I say, we are the ones that get hung up on color. Everything is either black, white, or whatever, and we're the one that separate. And the true image of God, or the true content of God, we look at is not color-wise, because
right.
as you have already exposed, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So why would we worry about what color he was? All we know is he is our God, he is our Savior, he's the one that died for our redemption, and he's the one that paid it all for us, so that we are as he is, whatever he is. And
right.
that's what we are. We are children,
right.
are descendants of Abraham. And so
mm-hmm.
therefore, they have a connection with God regardless to the color that we look at. And I think a lot of times that's our biggest problem. We are the ones that makes things so difficult to understand or to accept.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, wait. I need to bring in somebody else real fast before you answer that question, okay?
Okay.
I just got to – okay, this is Reverend.
Hello? Yes.
Reverend Catherine Holly? Kathy Holland?
It's Kathy
yes.
Holland.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I can hear you now. Okay. Okay, we have you on the air. We're discussing a very serious topic here. I'm going to let Brian Donovan, who started the topic, explain to you what's going on.
Okay.
And I want you to give your point of view on it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Kathy Holland.
Okay.
Reverend Kathy Holland, excuse me.
How you doing?
I'm blessed.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, we're discussing it. It's not really about religion, so to speak. It's for me, I'm saying, because I know the word of God. I was raised up in a Pentecostal, apostolic, Holy Ghost field, speaking in tongues. 12 gifts of the spirits, or the nine gifts of the spirits, and teaching the fruits of the spirit along with it. I know all about all that, and I've been indoctrinated with that, and that's my core, that's my root. But I'm not talking about religion. It's just the fact that me, once it has been revealed, my eyes open like wow, that we are not what we have been depicted to be on media. As the downgraded, we are downgraded, but we're downgraded not because of the white man. We're not downgraded because of nobody except for us. We're downgraded because we turned our back on our only salvation, which the only one that has the last word when we pass away and die and leave this earth. You know what I'm saying? We broke our covenant. Not we as per se right in this present day, but we are the result of our ancestors breaking that covenant. You know, and we live in that curse, you know, until this day, especially of us who have not accepted what Christ has done for us, you know, on the cross and such. But like I said, I don't know I went there, but I went there. I said it was not by religion or whatever, but it was about the awareness that we are what the Word of God has been talking about all this time. And
okay,
that awareness
I want,
right there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I want to, not to cut you off, Brian, but I would like to hear Reverend Cassie Holland's point of view, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay.
When we talk about religion, I don't believe in religion. I'm not. Religion is a person that has a pattern or is something
mm-hmm.
you do out of habit.
Mm-hmm.
I worship him.
Right.
You know, and as I heard, the word says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth because he's a spirit.
Right.
I have a relationship with him. A lot
right.
of people have an affair with him. It's
mm-hmm.
every now and
mm-hmm.
then I'll tap on this, I'll tap on
uh-huh.
that. I'll see you when
Preach
I can, okay? I'll hang out with you when I can. But my relationship draws me to him. It's
right.
just like a relationship of
mm-hmm.
eros love between a man and a woman.
Right.
You know, and I'm speaking from a girl mm-hmm. standpoint. When I'm talking about a relationship, you know, we do all we can. We think about that all day long. We always look our best. We always want the best. Well, my relationship with him is even better than that. You know, the relationship causes you to fall in love with the one that can save your soul.
Right.
You don't know. I really believe you don't know. We've all probably loved somebody, been hurt by somebody. Amen. But until you actually know the love of God, that's a different
right.
kind of love.
Yes.
And so I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in denominations. I am a Baptist pastor. But
right.
I believe in the Holy Word. I believe in what God's Word says. I accept
mm-hmm.
all the gifts. I accept the fivefold ministry, the manifestation, and the
right.
motivational gifts.
Yep.
You know, people get so caught up on denominations.
Mm-hmm.
We get
mm-hmm.
caught up on... Our church has to have this color, but we do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He died for our sins. But we have so many people, we don't do that in our church. Tradition is going to send so many people to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Tradition. Because people are hung up on what somebody did, or we don't do it that way. You're not supposed to do it Jesus' way. Do it God's way. Do it according to the word. You know,
exactly.
we sit up and we talk about they did this, they did that. Did God reveal that to you? Did God speak that to your heart or through his word? Because it's the only communication you have.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people
right.
will tell you that God told them to tell you this. God ain't told them nothing. And they wouldn't know God's voice unless if they heard it. So I just got in on a little bit of it, but that's what I'm saying right now. Amen.
Amen.
I have a relationship with him, and I fell in love with him, and I am in love with him. I
Amen.
Worship him, not just on
Amen.
Sundays and Wednesday nights, every day, all day. You can be in the marketplace. He will pull you away from them to come to him so that you can, hallelujah, so you can tell somebody about
oh,
him.
Wow.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Reverend Cassie Holland.
Sister. I love you, sister.
Hey,
oh,
Reverend Tommy Edmond. I really think y'all can stay on the line. We have some more callers coming on. But I would appreciate if y'all stay on the line to the end of the segment, if that's all right with y'all.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
We really
Definitely.
Thank you and appreciate y'all coming on the line. This is Jesus Times Radio. We really appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
but
I
would appreciate
this,
if y'all
like
just staying on to the end of the segment, you know, because, you know, even though we still have people coming on, y'all still might have something that y'all want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Right. We have another caller coming on.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
Joseph.
Hello.
All right. How
yes.
you doing?
Fine, thank you. I have a comment. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I have a something to say. As far as the man is talking about Jesus' color, you see, I am a minister. I graduated from the Spanish School of the Bible in Oakland, California. It was Leonardo da Vinci who painted the picture of Barabbas' supper for King James. Mm-hmm. You see, a lot of people think they know Jesus, but they don't. You see, they think they know him, but they don't. That picture was painted for Leonardo da Vinci because nobody wanted to accept him as being a black man.
Exactly.
So the original Bible was written in Latin, from Latin into Greek, and then from Greek into English, better known as the King James Version.
Yes. Right.
Okay? Now, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, well, if you read the Bible good, the 66 books, we're not supposed to even pray to statues. We're not
Amen.
Supposed to see anything that crawls on the
Amen.
Bottom of the floor.
That's Amen.
Right. Okay, we're not supposed to do that. Okay?
Amen.
We're not supposed to go with the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed
Amen.
To go out
Amen.
And
Amen.
No man. That city was destroyed. And one more thing, people have asked me this question. Because we're going to go way back to Adam and Eve, and I hope I'm not getting
yep,
off the
yep.
subject. Okay. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Come on now, talk
mm-hmm.
to me. Cain and
right.
little Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he was banished into the north end of the garden. He put a number on his forehead. For anybody who see him may slay him. Now, if Cain and Abel were the first two here, who was here to kill him? Who did he marry? Okay? Who did he marry? So, you know, religion, they say Jesus, well, you can accept him or you can reject him. You can accept his word, and you can reject his word. Those who accept his word will walk a straight line. Because,
right.
you see, if you walk in the light, people will see how you're walking.
Right.
They will know. You don't have to walk around telling my pain, Lord, hallelujah. I have met people, spoke to them, and said, you are a Christian. And they said, yes, I am. They said, but how did you know? I said, because they waited.
Uh-huh.
You're walking in the light and not in the dark.
Uh-huh.
Right, right.
One more question people have asked me. You see, they said, Minister Joseph, they said, everything has a beginning and an end. And I said, yes. And they said, you have a beginning and an end. I said, yes, it is my father and my mother and the first life to see. But then how did this man, Jesus, never claim to be God? But how did this man who called himself a God get to be there? Where is his beginning? We know about Jesus' beginning, but how did his father get there? And because they said to me, when he created the earth and when he created the sky, he created the host. And a lot of people don't know who the host is. They get back to the point. They ask me, how did God get there to call himself a God?
Wow. Okay.
Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. You see,
like,
you don't have to go to school to be a minister. If you talk the word, you're automatically a minister. You don't have to go to school.
Right.
Thank you, Dad.
Right.
Thank you, Dad. Very good point.
All right.
Thanks,
we have one more caller on the line. I want to bring that caller through.
Oh, hello, son.
Okay.
How you been?
I'm good. I'm getting home. I got a caller.
Hold on. We have one more
caller.
Thank All right.
you.
You can stand
in
line, Mr. Joseph. We have just have another
caller
on the line.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, caller.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm not sure what
Tracy?
The question was.
Nancy?
Yes, that's Nancy. What
okay,
was that?
Brian.
Nancy, senor? Hey, Kathy.
I'm still here.
Okay, what
okay.
was the question? Tammy invited me on.
Brian, tell me your question. What was your topic for this evening?
Oh, the topic is that the topic was change, and the only change that's going to work for us is what God has given us through His Word from the beginning, and the realization of who we are as a people on this earth, as far as dealing with the descendants of Moses and Abraham and such, and the 12 tribes of Israel, which were scattered across the earth, the globe,
okay,
which we are, you know, and things of that such, and what we need to do to change it.
All right, what's your point of view on that, Nancy?
Well, I think once we come into the knowledge of who God is, God is neither Greek, Jew, or
mm-hmm.
we are God's people. So our
right.
identity is in Him. We are holy people, righteous, just. We are what God are. We have His attributes. So
mm-hmm.
we should mirror the attributes of God, not
mm-hmm.
in color, but in deed. In our love, God is love.
Right.
Those are the things that we portray as Christians. That's who we should be striving to be, to have God's
mm-hmm.
character and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. If we mirror the image of God, the true and the living God, if we begin to walk like Him, talk like Him, and think like Him, so when God looks at us, He sees self. Because,
right.
you know, we have the Word. I agree fully with what Pastor Holland was saying. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God is living. You know, everywhere we go, we should display Christ. You know, whatever the need is, we should be equipped to meet needs and to show forth the glory of God in the earth as His chosen vessel.
Yeah, that's true.
No, y'all talking. No, y'all talking. I was going to ask you, did you get them?
Yeah,
L1, L2, L3, but you know that?
So that's not in the outward color, outward appearance in any kind of way. What our physical attributes look like.
Well, I wanted to say that
my son.
Like I said, we say it's not about color.
Oh, no,
but Jesus, even Jesus, when He told His disciples to go forth, the priest, He told them to go to the Jews first. You know what I'm saying? He went to His people first. Just like He said, He came to His people, and His people didn't know Him. They didn't reject Him. You know what I'm saying? We rejected Him. But,
that's so
that
scriptures
God
would be fulfilled, that He went to His own.
Amen.
That's so the scriptures would be fulfilled, that He went to
right.
His own,
exactly.
and His own received Him not. The Gentiles were grafted in.
Exactly. The Gentiles was already doing what they were doing as far as serving other gods and idols and things like that. That's what. But the agreement that God
but
made
had nothing
with us,
to do with color.
Huh? Yeah.
Had nothing to
no,
do with color.
No. What I am saying is,
mm-hmm.
when God made that agreement, He made it mm-hmm. to the 12 tribes of Israel, which were people of color, is what I'm saying. He didn't make it with the Gentiles. He made it with the Gentiles, and everything was included when Jesus came.
Well,
you understand?
Ryan?
I'm listening.
We seem to be running out of time.
Okay.
I really want to thank Reverend Tommy Edmond. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I really want to thank you for calling. I really want to thank Reverend Kathy Holland. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And I really want to thank you for calling. And Reverend Minister Joseph, Minister Joseph Hazel, are you there?
No.
All right, and I want to thank you for calling also.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate y'all taking the time out to call in. It was truly an honor having y'all on the air to discuss the topic with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless. But my son, thank you.
All right.
That's what's up.
Now, Brian, what is your final thought on this topic?
That was the study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's my last statement.
All right. I'm gonna get in touch with you, Brian, all right?
All right, that's what it is.
All right. Brian, Donovan, All right. Brian Donovan Graham, Don's in D.C.
God be the glory.
All right. Okay, coming up next, we have up-and-coming artist, GQ. We're going to find out what's his next move in the music industry, and we're going to be playing his smashing single, 215. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
What's up with all of these haters? Looking at me, y'all stupid. Walk around, y'all high-headed. Somebody please tell them cool it. Look at, I'm not for all of that dumb shit. Mild mannered like Clark Kent. People don't try to play Superman and get tossed and found. Lost limb. Vegas always the biggest. Mike Jackson won't start something. Thinking this is a game till he realized that there is no pause button. Haters talk behind your back and wanna talk it out like a chick. But my goons blind to that fact, so they walk around with that stick. Yeah, haters talk too much. But my people, yeah, we hands on. Chopper big as a Thailand. Them bullets bigger than tampon. Just imagine if they hit you. Doctor got to spend days with you. Only thing that I could say is, yes, you just met Brandon.
Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
Ain't too much that I take to heart. I take actions when necessary. You can pop one of them courage pills and they'll end up reading your obituary. What's wrong with y'all? Can't y'all see this what I do? Getting sick and tired of all these rack rappers. Always saying stupid shit that ain't true. I'm gonna clear this once and for all. I don't even see what all the hype be about. The dude said that it can't fit a little bit. So now y'all wanna go and try to wipe his mouth. I do this, forget your name. If he feel bland, forget your mane. And it don't even gotta be a rush hour for you to understand what it is I'm saying. I do this, man, I'm me. The same dude here is when I'm on TV. And if you ask anybody who's he, watch what it is they gotta say about me. Yeah, I do this with my eyes closed, handcuffed and blindfold. Everything I do stick and move, cause I stay in grind
mode. Guess what,
mode.
I made it, I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see, guess what, I made it, I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see, come take a look, 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 come take a look. Guess what, I made it, I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see, guess what, I made it, I'm the Marvel Band. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace. And with me right now, I have GQ, a.k.a. Q Public. GQ, welcome to the show.
I appreciate the love.
Thanks a lot for joining us, G. How's everything going?
Oh, everything is good, man. I'm actually at... Actually, just sitting out outside of the studio just now. I just got done a session just now.
Oh, number one of those fire joints, huh?
Yeah, man, you know, try to keep working hard, man.
Yeah, because we got some things for them to hear tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the aim.
Exactly. Now, let's start with your name. How did you come up with the name GQ?
Well, I actually, you know, I didn't name myself. I had a cousin named Michael that he passed away maybe about 5-6 years ago. You know, it's Philadelphia's violent head. You know, he was shot, he was killed, and you know, he was, you know, basically he was more or less like more of a big brother. than actually like a cousin. But, you know, long story short, I had spent some time away from Philadelphia. I was living in New York for a little bit. And when I came back home, you know, I guess I kind of picked up certain traits from them, you know, as far as like always, you know, going and getting a haircut and, you know, the polo clothes and stuff like that. So every time I came, you know, to the old block, he always was all, look at this, you know, this GQ, he's all fly all the time. So everybody just started kind of calling me GQ or whatever. So it just kind of stuck or whatever.
Okay, so also known as Q Public.
Yeah.
All right.
But the Q Public was kind of like the little spin on it that I put on it. You know, I on a GQ. You know, because you know, honestly, like when you identified as an everyday person, when there's no name besides John Doe, they also use, you know, John Q Public as a regular name for, mm-hmm, you know, for somebody that can't really be identified. So I just kind of took it and spun it on top of the GQ, and you know, made it work for me.
Okay, so when did you first actually got into, I'm going to say music, because, you know, you're doing so much. I'm going to say music. When did you first get into music?
I got into music probably, you know, like dipping and dabbling in it probably when I was around, like, you know, 15, 16. I was around it pretty much my whole life. I can't, you know, my older cousin used to babysit us all the time. His name was Brucey B. He was a DJ or whatever. He used to spend, like, the parties and stuff like that, College Creek. So I kind of always was around music, but the bottom line, as far as when I really started getting into it and taking it serious, probably was around my like my early 20s, really, like, you know, trying to focus and come up with songs and perform and understand what the business is and what the music is itself. So that's pretty much what that was for me. Probably around my early 20s is when I really started taking it serious as a businessman and as an artist.
Okay, so you were saying more likely your cousin, the one who really got you, you know, inspired you into the music, is mainly.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, at least you got that family trend that, you know, that got you into it and still doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, what's your inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist?
Well, my inspiration for me always will be, it'd be my son, my close friends, and my family. I do what I do to try to make our situation better. You know, that the end game, that's what it is for me, is making sure that everybody eats well, everybody lives good, and is able to, you know, see better things in life. You know, everything ain't always ghetto, everything isn't always hood every day, but, you know, a lot of times that's all we see. So that's a part of my creativity, a part of my inspiration, but at the root, it starts with my son. It derives right there with my son.
Okay. And what's the most important thing about being an up-and-coming artist, would you say?
Just to always try to stay hungry, try to always maintain your focus, discipline, and then keeping your integrity intact in your music, meaning your personality. Like, always try to convey what you really want to say, like your personal thoughts, your personal opinion, your personal feelings inside of the music, you know, but try to make it fun at the same time without losing who you are amongst the music itself. That seems to be where the game is at right now, but that's a whole other topic of discussion.
I hear you.
Right, right.
Now, as you being an artist, where does the most pressure come in at? Like, is it in you performing, you know, doing a song at the studio? Where does the most pressure come in at?
I think the most pressure comes from the creative dynamic, or not so much the writing, more or less when I'm actually in the booth recording, because certain levels or at certain points and times when I'm actually doing the songs, it's more or less about timing and execution. You know, the stage is it's electric to me. It's almost like, you know, almost like a high for me. So that's the easy part. The writing, zoning out and creating, coming up with the song, those are the easy parts. They're actually going into the studio and trying to really, you know, make what I want people to feel through the music, mm-hmm, come across over the microphone. That's the hard part, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did say this is
okay. Now, do you consider yourself more as a rapper or MC?
I consider myself to be more of an MC. I can rap, but I really do view myself more as an MC. I get involved with the crowd when I perform. I interact with them. I'm there to put on a show for them. You know, I want to be able to them to feel my energy, and I want to feel their energy back. I want everybody to have a good time. Like, when they go home, I want them to say, hey, he did his thing. I like him. You know what I mean? Whether they go on YouTube and check me out, you know, that's on them. But I want them to be left with that thought. Like, he really did his thing, and I want to always have that memory. Like, I rocked out at that show, you know?
Exactly. Now, what's some of your best qualities as an up-and-coming artist?
I think, honestly and truthfully, from an artist standpoint, one of my best qualities is my speech. I'm able to articulate my words very well. I like to make sure that when I say words, I pronounce them properly, so people really hear what I'm saying. You know, one of the other things that works in my favor is the fact I'm a little good looking. So that's always a benefit. You know, it makes you a little bit more easy to market. And, you know, your target audience more or less is going to be females anyway. So you always got to play to the ladies, and, you know, I'm easy on the eyes for them. So it makes it a little bit more relaxed for me when I'm on stage anyway.
I hear you. Now, let's talk about your single, Flick.
Okay.
What's the concept behind that single?
Well, the concept is it's one of those kind of songs where, you know, when you're growing up, I mean, you grew up, you know, you're older than that. I'm pretty sure you had those times when you were young when, you know, it might have been that girl you liked, you was interested in, but, you know, you didn't have, you know, the money or the cars or the jewelry, you know, and you couldn't get the girl that you really wanted, you know what I'm saying, because she was into all of the glitter. So now you basically grew into a man, and now you have all of the things that you didn't have back then. And now she want to date you. She want to go out with you. She want to see you the way you wanted to see her back then. But I'm kind of saying, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm the same person I was back then. I just came up a little bit, but I'm still the same person, you know?
All right. So you know what? We're going to get into that single right now. All right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas. This is GQ, a.k.a. Q Public. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the line and speak to GQ or stay on the air to hear the show. This is one of his smashing singles, Flick, Flick. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you want to talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without this fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. We in the park or on VIP.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, Roman, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click yeah, Viva, Miami for the weekend, eating, Shima, pull up, valet park car, Bima, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds to glow, ice climbing the shows, heard lights to... Yeah. Slide in the hole, it's my way, or the highway, eye in the toe. Yes, I'm a pro, press eye in the foe. Talking, what a walk, talk, never the foe, yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you
want
to talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV.
Check thick like who him? In the low bubble, trouble with the low brim. Running no huddle, double the score. Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor. Won't settle with all, middle finger to loss. Parquet, bread and butter, but I hunger for more. Look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore. Mimosa, what I said, starting my mall. While these other niggas playing cute, playing the show. Beachfront, she can front if she want.
Trust.
Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arraigned in court for no dame.
It's public.
I'm no lame. Know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire is fire, saliva, propane. Cue, turn it up. Flex, the bitch is always the same.
Yeah. You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Do it big, Chris Wallace. Any night, take flight, St. Thomas. First class recliner, wine and empanadas. Stay sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage. Touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba. Chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda. Blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler. Cue Mr. Dosecki, come correctly. Chilling crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh? They told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion. Thought you was fancy, huh? Guess you drew like Nancy Dunn. Shed a tip for every lappy run. Real rap, cause on track, he El Capi son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, lights, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
That joint right there.
Appreciate it.
I'll be having it blasted. I'm not even going to lie.
Look, I didn't even let you get it out, right?
I was having that blasted. I was like, oh, what the? Man, listen, you went crazy on that. Now, yeah. That's you singing, or who's that singing?
No, that's my man, Stan. Shout out to Stan Lee. He's a wonderful singer here in West Philadelphia. You know, he's an artist that I work with from time to time through BADA Records on Born Alone, Die Alone. Shout out to Born Alone, Die Alone. Stan, he's a wonderful talent. He's a wonderful talent. I love working with Stan.
Okay, now who does your production? Who actually, now do you have one random person do your production, or do you have one producer?
Well, let me see. We only got one in-house producer. His name is S-Class Beats. But right now, what I do is I don't like to. It's no different than eating food. You know, you don't want one type of thing on your plate.
I hear something in the background. I don't know what it is.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I had to turn it down for a second. Bottom line is that I have to do business with more than just one producer, because it gives you a different variety of sound. It's no different than, like I said before, like food on your plate. You don't want to eat the same thing all the time, because then it's going to get boring to you. So, you know, I try to mix it up. I get production from Blade Beats. Shout out to Blade Beats. Raleigh the Beats. Raleigh the Beast, actually. Dante the Beast. V-Dub. Who else I get production from? Got beats from Flawless. We get a couple of tracks here and there from Flawless, from out DC, from Washington. I love Flawless tracks out of this world. Did a little bit with some Johnny Giuliano work. So I try to mix it up, you know.
Okay. Now, if I was an up and coming artist, what advice could you give me to better my talent?
Honestly, just, man, practice makes perfect, man. If you really believe in yourself and you really want it, just, you know, tell yourself that every day when you look in the mirror, but put your work in, you know. Make it a point to hone your skills, to sharpen your skills. Make it a point to constantly write and to read. The more and more you read, the more and more words you put in your head, which allows you to use them in your songs. So it doesn't matter if you're a rapper or your R&B gospel singer, it doesn't matter. It's just about having the words to say what you feel.
Now, that's
Is that that's you with the it's something in the background?
I think that's the. No, that's not me in the background. That's something that they mixing. You have to let the studio. They mixing down.
Oh,
let me see
studio,
if I can go in another room.
All right.
No, you
all
good.
Right.
You good. I want you to be able to hear what I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going.
What else can we expect from GQ, you know, like from you in the future?
Oh, well, right now we're working on Predators mixtape. That should be coming out within the matter of maybe like a week or two. We're going to be pushing that independently through Infinity Records. Shout out to Infinity Records. You can check us out at www.infinityrecords.net. It's NFINITIRecords.net, so keep up with me. But beyond that, we work on an album right now, which is called First Class. You know, we had a couple of delays on it. We keep pushing it back just because I want to make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. I want everything on it to sound right. Like, I want every piece to the puzzle to be exactly where it's supposed to be, because it's going to be like the very first time I'm dropping an album for people to hear. And so I want everything to be like as perfect as I possibly can have it, you know.
Wow, I feel you. Now, what's the best advice that was ever given to you as an up and coming artist, you would say?
The best advice that I ever got as an artist probably came from a Rutan Lee, because he had to help me understand at a young age that it's more than just than music. You know, it's a business, so you got to understand the business and make it a point to understand the business. You know, know the business that you're doing business in. That way, nobody can really take advantage of you. The quote he actually gave me was, "You get what you pay for." Mm. So I didn't understand it at the time, so he kind of broke it down for me. And he said, you know, if somebody's going to give you something, is it honestly, truthfully, is it really worth having? Like, are they giving it to you because what they're giving you is really worth it, or are they giving it to you because they're trying to take advantage of you? You know, like, make sure that you know exactly what you're getting yourself into. They hide all of the knowledge or information in the book. So make sure you get in the book and get a proper understanding of the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to take some callers, but I want to get into one more of your singles first. I got to hear this joint. 215.
Right.
How did you come up with that title? And what is the aspect behind that single?
Well, with 215 is pretty much it's like an anthem for the city. It's the zip code. Like, if you call Philly, predominantly, you know, you call a landline, it's going to be 215, and then whatever seven digits follow. So what I was trying to do was talk about some of the things, like the grittier things that are here that go on in the city, but let everybody know, like, here in our city, like, we cool, like, we here, we still happy, like, you know, the kids still go outside and play, like, every time you turn on the news or something, you're always hearing something so ugly about Philadelphia, like the shootings and the chillings and this and the third. But there's good stuff here, too. So that's really what the song was about, you know.
All right. So you know what? I want you to introduce it. We're going to let you introduce that joint right there.
Okay. So then shout out to GQ Magazine. It's your boy G. It's your boy G. Dot, Q. Dot, live from Philly. We're about to drop that single called 215 now. I mean, hope everybody love that joint.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Since 2001, there have been 10,000 shooting victims in Philadelphia. The city now averages one murder every day. Clearly, something has got to be done, and soon, to stem the bloodshed and grief in the city of brotherly love.
City where you're often rock, either that or you're often locked. It's not a game. I spend a little change on an Austin drop, but nah, don't ask what it cost me. I bought the narrow chicks and hot stilettos. What else for myself than top shelf for barrel? Click, cat, gold, label yellow. The click, clack, hole, like hello. Only speak when you're spoken to. In the city of Philly, we don't talk much. If it's a problem, we stop. Stay out of cops' cuffs. If it ain't about a dollar, nothing to discuss. DA coming nasty, pinch it, and we keep pinching like Sebastia. Indeed, more than a passenger. Throw something while you're backing up. Ride. Customers try shorting your dime like Super 9. Blue collar workers daily punching the clock. Black fuel for save. Undercover circle the block. Pay attention. Slipping only lead to the fall. Like tricking only lead to the draw.
No different.
My position is to come up whenever the sun's up. Run up. That ain't my twist, but if that's what it comes to,
run that.
The money's all I want.
And look black.
I ain't gonna ask you more than once. Understood? Good. Now give that head. Rabbit ear. Suck. Now get that out of here. Not a care. So true. Too. Blew it in the air. Buy by the bottle, follow never by the bear. I recommend it, finish, tip it, sell by the year. Well aware, ready to get Philly without a beer. The lie with the semi, yes I. This is Philadelphia, can you tell I?
Not I.
This is how we bred. Bang off for all daily bread. Cards we dealt, roll the dice instead. Only difference in business, lack of bread. Hold your bets, it goes down, hold your breath. Think of swimming, get them when you won't connect.
You hear me?
Come correct from the giddy up, the gritty up, the gritty up. Back. Collecting the city up, hard dealing, making a hard living. Watch your body, see you tomorrow, Lord willing. 76er, Ducati, a Gixxer. Stand tall, do ball just like a Sixer. If you hit, cutting it ain't with scissors. And the beef over broccoli is what we prefer.
Appreciate that, man.
You are definitely sick. We have some callers on the line for you.
So okay.
We're going to start taking some callers, all right?
All right, no problem.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you have GQ on the line?
Hey, how you
Hi,
doing,
GQ.
Young lady? How you doing?
The city of brotherly love. I love it. I love it.
That's the stuff
was,
I appreciate it.
Actually, I was a Philly rep, resident for 5 years. And,
okay.
I love Philadelphia. I mean, being honest, you know, it's bad anywhere you go, so you just
right.
can't call out one, you know, one state.
Right.
But your music,
right.
your music is truly, truly banging.
Thank you. I
was sitting up here like, yeah, that's what's up.
That's tough.
You know, so how long do you say you've been doing this?
I've only been doing it for a few years, actually, like seriously. I mean, I got into it, like, maybe in, like, my early 20s. I'm in my back end now. I'm 27 now. But
okay.
So I would say actually like where I'm at now because I took a little break. So I would say maybe about 3 years.
Okay. Okay. Wait, are you in, like, the northeast or in the north part of Philly? Or?
Oh, no. I'm West Philly all day. Got to stay fly.
Okay.
Got to stay fly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, shout out to North Philly.
They do big things in West Philly.
I'm with you now. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You stay fly.
Oh, most definitely. Philly, period, stays fly.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And
that's
there's
right.
always some happenings going on.
That's right.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, keep up the good work. Your music is great, you know. And keep going to the top, babe. You'll make it.
Hello? I appreciate that. Thank you, young lady.
No problem.
Thank you. You have a good night, too.
We have another call on the line for you, G. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have GQ on the line?
GQ, what it do? 215 building.
I'm right here. Q here.
No, stay fly.
What's going
stay
on, my good brother? What's going on with you?
Hey, things well, man. Yo, I'm a hip hop head. I don't care where you come from, east side, west side, you know what I mean? Real recognized real. Your lyrics is crazy, it's fire. I mean, you got some type of lyrics that, like, you know, like you can play like 10 years from now, 15 years from now. You can,
I appreciate
it. You can still can pump that in the club, you hear me?
Like, yeah, that's what's like, up, man. I appreciate that, though, man. Like, you know, it's hard trying to get some airplay out here, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know,
but
it's just the grind.
I mean, you're natural, though. You're natural. I see it and I feel it, you know what I mean? I feel it. But, you
that's
know
what's
I mean? It's just what the doctor ordered, like you said in your lyrics at the end. Or the song you just played, you know what I mean? Order another round, yo.
Right.
I just need one more time, man. One more time.
No, dear. That's all. Yes, what I'm saying. I keep plugging away. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna never give up. I ain't gonna never quit. It is what it is. You know.
All right. Cool.
I appreciate that too, man. I appreciate the love, man.
Not a problem, man. That's what we do. That's why you're on GQ Palace, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to GQ Palace.
You know that all the time.
Always.
All right. I got another question for you, though.
What's up?
What inspired you to be an artist? I just heard you say you're like 27 years old.
Yeah.
All right, so you're kind of young in the game. But so if you had to choose between the present and the past, who inspired you to be a rapper?
Oh, man. Well, if I was to say, I would say the past.
Yeah.
I would probably have to say it was a combination of in the past. It might have been a little bit. You get a little bit of Tupac,
right.
Get a little bit of Biggie, because
right.
Tupac gave it to you from a heartfelt. Biggie
right.
gave it to you from like a cool, smooth.
Right.
I liked a lot of early Jay-Z stuff and a lot of early Nas. Like a lot of Nas stuff was very it was thought provoking. It made you think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So early on, those were like pretty much the artists that I listened to. And then I would say presently, you know, I know my man going to kill me for this because he can't stand them dudes. But I'm a big fan. I'm an honest contributor. I'm a big fan as far as listening to an artist. Like, I recognize lyricism. I like hot lyrics. And I dig Lil Wayne, man, and I dig Drake, man. I like what they're doing. I like how they're putting it together. I like how they present themselves. You know what I'm saying? I think it's they know how to take a song and have a good time with it, but still get their message across. So right now, that's who I'm kind of digging them. A little bit of Rick Ross in there, a little bit. I like Ross stuff too, and Meek Mills. I'm digging Meek Mills. Shout out to Meek Mills, another Philadelphia artist, Mr. Philadelphia. I'm digging those four dudes right now.
All right, that's what's up, man. All right, thanks, yo. What do you think about DMX? I mean, it's about you. It's about you. I'm just trying to find out where you at.
Right. Honestly and truthfully, I thought, like, I still listen to some of DMX stuff, you know, like when I be doing, you know, like working out, exercising or whatever, get you fired up. DMX, to me, man, he definitely had his place. I don't think he's done. I think he got a little bit, a little bit more juice left in them legs. He got a couple more runs left in him, for real. He not done. I think the brother was very deep. I think he was a little misunderstood, but man, I love what he do. I still got some of his joints in my iPod that I just listen to on a regular listen to. Like, I loved how he always put his words together and all of that, you know, and you could feel what he was saying. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he was no question. Definitely. When he talked pain, you could feel it. When he talked good times, you could feel it. Like,
Right.
I dug DMX. I still dig DMX. Shout
you heard
out to DMX.
The hunger in his voice.
Right.
It's about you right now. What about you, Chris? You know what I mean, Q? 10 years from now,
huh?
Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Oh, man, I hope, you know, sitting on a yacht in front of the villa. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, I hope that's the point. It's, you know, the plateau, if I'm blessed enough, you know, if it's in the cards for me to get to that point, it'll happen, you know, when it's supposed to happen. Honestly and truthfully, I really see myself, you know, leaning more, getting into, you know, different things with business, actually. You know, checking in, you know, getting into films and trying to, you know, put together different things like clothes, you know, colognes, We actually been trying to put together our own liquor right now. You know, we got something called N.Oil right now where we're trying, you know, come up with a better name. But everybody love it at the party. Everybody love it at the party. So, you know, I definitely got an entrepreneur mindset.
That's what's up, man. All right, man. Feel that. But you know, you gotta come up with the with a Philly anthem, you know what I mean? Like the wrestling and DMA and so they said they got an anthem.
Yeah.
I wanna hear your anthem. GQ anthem,
huh? Yeah, no doubt. Man, I'm gonna come up with something. I'm gonna come up with something. Just give me a little time, trust me, it's gonna come together.
All right, I'm listening, man. I'm listening.
No doubt. I appreciate that, man.
All right. Now, G, let me ask you something. Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm here.
Before you go on the stage to perform, what's actually on your mind? Are you a little stage fright? Are you throwing the dark shades?
No. I like to look at the people.
Artists, they get a little stage fright. They throwing the dark shades, you know.
Nah, I like to look
at
the people.
Ain't nothing wrong with stage fright, though. Ain't nothing. Everybody gets it.
Nah. Like, see, with me, more or less, you know, hey, and it depends on, honestly and truthfully, I only put the sunnies on depending on what I'm wearing for real, but I always like to make eye contact with the people. I like to get off the stage and actually get in the crowd when I'm doing my thing. So, stage, that's not me. That's not even a part of what I do, honestly and truthfully. Like, yeah, I set it off. Yeah, I really do. I get involved with the crowd. I like them to be able to see, like, you know, I'm not afraid to rock out in front of y'all, so don't be afraid to rock out with me. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, and ain't nobody watching you right now. Ain't nobody going to tell, yeah, you can't dance right now. I don't care if you got one leg. Let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Give it up right now. You know what I mean?
All right. Now, where would you most like to perform at if you had the chance?
Oh, man. Honestly, if I had the chance to perform anywhere in the world, for real, man, I probably have to say Madison Square Garden, probably.
Madison Square Garden. That's the...
Either there, or if I could, maybe like in another country, maybe like somewhere like over in like China or something like that. Somewhere where I know it's just going, the feeling in the air is just going to be, it's going to be crazy. You know, just the energy is just going to be so through the roof. It's just going to be pandemonium. You know what I mean? Like I want to do something like that. Like Madison Square Garden, it would be more or less for me because I know, like, a lot of people, you know, they already know, like, that's where hip-hop come from, that's where rap come from. So if you get a chance to do a show, not just in New York City itself, but in Madison Square Garden itself, like, you're a part of history now, in my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you made it for real. Like, you know you on that level now.
Yeah, I understand. A part of theater is also, you know, they got that effect, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know. It's all good. Either way, as long as it's out there, you hear me?
Yeah, no doubt.
As long as it's out there. Now, if you had the chance to open for any artist, who would it be?
For real, I probably had to say Jay-Z, man. Probably Jay-Z. I always look up to boy, you know. I still think for him to still be out there doing what he's doing. And a lot of people always bring age into it. I don't have nothing to do with it. I think the boy, he still got it. Whatever it is he has, he still got it. And, being able to really be able to watch certain artists like him go up on stage and really, really, like, I think the best show I ever been to in my life where I was a performer, but I got to see it from backstage. I got to watch Chubb Rock one time at an old school joint. I opened up for Chubb Rock, and he had such command on the stage, it was almost surreal. Like, he was telling people on the second level to do this, and they was doing it. Then he was telling people on the left at the bottom to do this. And those kind of artists, that's what they do when they go on stage. Like, they might move a certain way, and everybody go crazy. Like, I would love to be able to see how that's done up close and personal from on that level, from that caliber artist, to learn from it.
Wow. I can feel you on that point. That'll really be an experience, too, you know?
Absolutely.
Definitely be an experience. Now, do you have any mixtapes coming out or that's out right now, you know?
Well, the one that I'm working on right now should be out maybe like another week or two. It's called Predators. It's a mashup of different things. I call it Predators because, you know, like in a movie, you don't ever see him coming. You know what I'm saying? He still gets you, but you don't see him until it's too late. So, I mean, that's the whole premise behind that mixtape. So, That'll be due out maybe like I said, another week or two, and that's going to be something I'm going to keep running with the Predators 1, Predator 2, Predator 3, and so on. And I'm actually the label that I'm rocking with right now, Sunity Records. They're getting ready to drop a collective mixtape. I'm adding some music on that. I'm getting ready to be on a 5-star entertainment mixtape. I'm getting ready to also be on a Ace Rothstein mixtape. That's another Philadelphia artist. I'm circulating on a Cheesy Bread guy from out Jersey, South Jersey, on one of his joints. He got a joint called Out Here. That's on his mixtape. And I'm just getting ready. I'm getting on Kicks USA, like the sneaker store. I just submitted two joints to be on their mixtape now, which has already got the green light. So I'm working. I'm definitely
all right,
working.
All right. You know what I want to do?
What's that?
Excuse me. I want to get into another one of your singles.
Okay.
Titled Terminator.
Okay, the Terminator. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about that right there.
That's the club joint right there. You know how when people go out, you know, you be fly, you be fresh. You know, you got it in your head. Like when I step out that night, I'm gonna be killing them. So that's the whole premise behind that. Like when I get to the bar, when I get to the club, or when I get out the car, I'm gonna be killing them. They're not ready for me. So that's really what it's about. It's about having fun, man, enjoying yourself, really getting it on and getting it in. You know what I mean?
Wow. Right now.
Okay. I'm here. I'm with you. We rocking. I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, Dons and Divas.
Yes,
here's
sir.
Another banger by that man, GQ, a.k.a.
Yes, sir.
Q Public, the Terminator.
Public.
Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment is butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Drop pop.
Yo, G.
Yo, what's up, man?
I'm feeling that right there. I'm feeling
that's
that right there.
That's what's up, man. That's what's
about
up.
It. You hitting all angles right now.
Yes, sir.
We actually have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring that call in. Hello, caller,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have GQ on the line?
Hi, GQ.
Yeah,
how are you?
Hey, how you doing, young lady?
Good, thank you. I just have a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
What would you say inspires you?
From like I was saying earlier in the joint, source of inspiration always for me is my son at the very root, and then everything from that is just it's always my family. It's always my family, my friend. That's what keeps me motivated. That's what keeps me driven. I wanna make sure everybody good. You know, everybody eat good. Everybody sleep good. Everybody live good. That's just what it is for me. That's what keeps me going every single day, even when it's hard. So I draw off of that. That's where my passion comes from. So it is what it is. You know, they're my heart, and that's where I get all my juice from.
Now, are you trying to target any specific age group or?
Man, to me, it's universal. It's no specific demographic or no specific age group. I aim my music at, like, you know, specifically. For me, music is just universal, so I just try to get it out to as many people in as many different facets as I possibly can. And if it catch on fire, it catch on fire, you know.
Okay. Well, you're definitely doing your thing. I have to say my favorite is Flick Flick, but...
Okay, that's what's up. I mean, you know, Flick Flick. Flick, 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 definitely one of my favorite joints, you know what I'm saying, just because, you know, it's real, you know, you grow up, meet from, you know, talk to them, she ain't really going to give you that play, man, you up a little bit, now she want to give you that play, like, no, I'm good, I'm all right where I'm at right now, you stay where you at right now, you know what I mean?
Right, kind of like if you didn't want me, you know, when I didn't have much, and now I have
right.
Something that you want me pretty much.
Exactly, like, yeah, bye, girl. Yeah, straight up.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Oh, gee, we've seen you. What I need you to do right now is I need you to give the listeners all your information, your Twitter, your Facebook. Let them know what performances you got coming up or what mixtapes you got coming out. Let them know all that information.
All right. Basically, well, we got a performance out in Staten Island in New York tomorrow. I'm pretty sure my peoples can get you the address or whatever, you know, so you can let your people know. But, you can always reach me at GQ Infinity. That's at Twitter /GQ Infinity. That's spelled GQNFINITI. Follow me whenever you want to follow me. We got the website www.infinityrecords.net. It's NFINITI records.net. We also, you can check me out anytime you want to reach me or hear my music any other facet on Philly Hot Radio. That's Philly Hot with two T's radio.com. Shout out to Ace Rothstein, Trigger Man. We got the albums coming out. We got the first class is on the way. Just be patient. First class is coming. We always got that coming soon, but it's coming. It's definitely coming. The Predators is on its way. The five-star mixtape is on its way. The Predators 2 is on its way. Ace Rothstein, Wall Street, Ace Resent is on its way. You know, everything is you know, is full circuit. If you want to reach me on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/ GQ or / Infinity Records, and you can reach me on my personal, you know what I'm saying? If you want to get personal with me, you can go to facebook.com/ Jason Bomber. That's JASONBALMER. So, you know, every facet is there for you to reach me anytime you want to reach me.
We actually have another call on the line for you real fast.
Okay.
G, we're going to bring that caller in. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, GQ? You know, this is your favorite Hollow. You know, I'll be watching y'all in the shadows. How you been doing that, GQ?
I'm all right, man. I'm chilling. What's up with you, baby?
Man, I'm watching your movement, man. You already know I've been enjoying your songs. You know, I got to watch in the shadows. You know how we work. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, I was just like, my people going to be on the radio show, Hollow will be there too, you know what I'm saying? Support with his fist in the air, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, man. That's love, man. Need that day long. Need that.
What's going on with your new project, man? What's going on with your new projects? I ain't been really hearing nothing about your project. I just been seeing you post here and there.
Hey, man, what I do is, you know, I do everything with soft shoes, man, you know, networking with a lot of different producers and, you know, just trying to make sure everything is tight-knit, you know. Like, you know, real sharp, like Steve Harvey boxing.
trying to keep everything sharp. You know what I mean? That's what you want to be. I want everything to be as picture perfect as I possibly can get it, you know?
I just say it like this, you know what I'm saying? When you moonwalk on the stars, don't forget us on planet Earth. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, man. Hey, man.
I like that.
And guess what? I'm going to be walking right there with you. Ain't about nothing. Walking right there with you. You already know, man. We all out here to go.
You already know, man. And I, you know what I'm saying? Any radio show to support my people, I try my best to support them. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually let myself be known. I'm on over 8 blog talk radios. I'm a freestyle king over 7 shows, over 10 states right now. And just been doing a lot of things. And I support, you know what I'm saying, the people in our camp. I support, you know what I'm saying, the people that support my camp. I support
that's
their
right.
camp. And that's how we do it, you know?
That's it. And that's how we got to be right there. That's how we do
that's
it right
how
there.
It
that's
is,
how,
man.
That's how, yeah, that's how we stay strong, man. You got to look out for your own, man. Got to take
already,
care of your people,
already.
Man.
Already, you know. And like I say, GQ, actually, you know what I'm saying, I kind of bumped into him a few years back. He kind of showed me a different style and a different approach that I kind of liked. And I was just like, well, you know what I'm saying, I'd like to do a song with this young man right here because he's bringing something back to hip-hop that I thought was kind of lost. He's bringing
right.
not that Drake feel, not that kind of soft feel. He's bringing that real, you know what I'm saying, vibe music back. And I was just like, you know what? That's what the game needs, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It ain't, yeah, like it ain't nothing wrong with what they do, but at the same token, everybody can't be trying to do what they do. You know what I mean?
Exactly, because, you know, the industry, you know what I'm saying, if I can say this on a radio show, it's a bunch of shit, you know what I'm saying?
Speak freely.
You know how he is. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a respect for monologue sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
The person. So I got to have respect for monologue the day until I get comfortable because I don't know who's listening. But you know what
right.
I'm saying? The industry is just a bunch of BS to me. You know what I'm talking about? Just because of the simple fact there's no creativity no more. It's a basic rhyme scale. Nobody's scared. Everybody's scared to go left.
Right,
in this world, and everybody wants to go right. We want to glorify the dope, which we know that you ain't out there selling because you glorify dope so much, you don't talk about the bad times when you got busted, when you was low, when you was out
right.
there three days in a row with your swag got closed, dirty, musty,
right.
but you getting your hustle on. We glorify
right.
party music and all
right.
this BS, and then we forget about what's really happening with our country, why
right.
these people come over and long dick us.
Right,
because
and
they just
people.
Took the Miranda
yeah.
rights.
Yeah,
yeah, they just
yeah.
took our Miranda rights. They ain't got to read that to us no more.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like I said, it's just a bunch of BS in music, and it's just like, you know, I think the underground, we got to bring it back as a whole, man. You know, GQ
yeah.
been doing his part. GQ been
yeah.
doing his part. I'm a big fan of GQ. Big fan.
Appreciate that, man. Always live, man. You already know, man.
Shoot. Hey. It do what it do, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can actually get on the show and just do what it do, you know?
That's what it's supposed to be, man. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, more or less, it's about you being able, like I spoke on this earlier, you know, early in the conversation on the interview, it's about you keeping who you are, like your integrity, like your personality, like your character intact in your music. Like, don't be afraid to speak what you, like, don't be afraid to tell people your opinion. Don't be afraid to tell people what's on your mind. Don't be afraid to say what you feel for real, because at the end of the day, that's the only way you really connect with the listeners. Because
exactly.
if all you doing is giving them the same, like, generic, regurgitated stuff over and over again, how they ever going to feel you? They might as well just keep listening to whoever they listening to.
But
you know
like I was saying, GQ, ain't no feel no more. And that's
right,
why, that's why
right.
I like your music so much. There ain't no
right.
feel. Everybody
right.
doesn't have, like, you can say, you can put me in a genre of, I'm trying to bring horrorcore back. So
right.
you know,
like, no
and I learned different
but,
things about horrorcore. I learned how to write horror
to cut you
stories.
Off.
Go ahead.
But I need you to give your shout-outs. I got the Manhattans coming on next. I got
oh,
them on the line. They in the building.
The
so I need GQ to give his shout-outs right now.
Hey, man, listen, man, shout-out to the old block, Conestoga Street. Everybody know where they is in between 55th and 54th, Drexel Road, Winfield, West Philly, Southwest, South Philly, North Philly, PR, Coffee, Utah, LL, Mike White, White Bull, NDOT, Ace Rothstein, Trigger Man, Utah, Spark, shout out to Spark, shout out to the any and everybody. I might not remember everybody because I got a small window to get it all out. My man South Philly Mel, Big Ticket, Reef Sharif, Lil Cousin, Leak, you know,
any and everybody that's listening right now that show love, man, and show me support, man, I'm doing this for y'all, so y'all already know what it is.
No doubt, G. And we're going to keep in contact because I still need to talk to you. So after this, I'm going to holler at you so we can discuss some things, all right?
All right, my man.
No doubt, G.
Thanks for having me on, player.
No doubt. Thanks for the time.
All right, one.
GQ, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, our special guest appearance, Charles Hardy from the Manhattans. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby. Thank you.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the last segment of our show. And with me right now, I have our special guest appearance, Charles Hardy from the Manhattans. Charles, welcome to the show. Charles, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, just relaxing, that's all. Just relaxing.
I hear you. You know, the Manhattans, it's an honor, you know, just having one, it's just an honor having you on. You know,
well,
I'm not going to lie to you, it's definitely an honor having you on.
It's a pleasure, and we thank you, you know, for having us on your show and stuff.
Now, let's start off with the name, because some people believe the name for the Manhattans is the borough of the Manhattans. How did the Manhattans come up with the name Manhattans, the Manhattans?
The name is really from the cocktail, the Manhattan cocktail. You know, that's where the name really came from. You know, original founding member, Edward Sonny Bivens, he always would tell me the story of how that name came about, you know, how everybody took a different way, because being that the Manhattans is from Jersey City, you know, and they figured, well, they took that name from the borough of Manhattan, but it really wasn't like that. It was basically from the cocktail itself and stuff.
Oh, so that's exactly how the name came about.
Yeah.
How did y'all meet to organize the group?
Well, I go back to, I'm a second generation man, all right?
Yeah,
I've been
okay.
in there the last 23 years. Okay, so talking to Sonny all the time, you know, I would ask him different questions, and he said basically the group had gotten together while they was in high school. You know, it was where that they were singing in different groups and everything like that, but once they went in the service and then came back out the service, that's when they basically got together to become the Manhattans. Even though it was different entities of the group until they became the five originals, which was Sonny Bivens and George Smith and Richard Taylor, Kenneth Kelly, and Blue Lovett. That was the original five. So once they got out of service, then, you know, they got together, and that was it. You know, they went on and did what they had to do, and went down to the Apollo, you know, and came in third place down there. And just so happened that a gentleman by the name of Joe Evans, he was a saxophonist for a lot of the great jazz musicians, you know, and band leaders. But he also was a traveling musician. He played with the Motown traveling band. And he had just started up his record label, which was called Carnival Records. And he was in the audience at that night when the Manhattans performed and came in on third place. But he approached them, you know, and I guess a few days later or so, and told him that he wanted to manage them and he wanted to record them under his label.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened as of August 15th, 1964. That's
exactly,
when they signed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was with Carnival Records.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So and that's how the Manhattans came about in 1964.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, in your era as with the Manhattans background, did y'all each wanted to study something different, or was everybody just into the music, as you can recall, as childhood?
Well, as childhood, I'm almost certain everybody was. But I know Sonny always said that him and Blue, matter of fact, because they were good, very good baseball players, you know. And Sonny played with the Jersey City All-Stars. And I think he was telling us about he had played against Satchel Paige when Satchel Paige was on barnstorming back in the day there and stuff. But definitely that was a semi-pro team, and he wanted to go pro, but, you know, as fate would have it, I guess, you know, something happened where it turned to go to music, and once they went to music, that was it, you know.
It was flying
yeah.
from there, right?
Yeah.
Now, describe each member of the Manhattans
using one word?
Okay. Sunny Business. Peaceful.
Okay.
Al Pizzot, which is our bass singer. The Teacher, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lee Williams, our lead singer. Disciplinarian. Hossie Hemphill, we call him the Candy Man. He's our first tenor. Happy Go Lucky. And myself, I'm the jokester of the group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you. How do y'all start the processing of what y'all going to write, and how involved is everyone when writing a song?
Well, with Manhattans of today, we all have a hand in everything. You know, I might come with a lyrical line, you know, and then Sonny, he always carrying his guitar with him and stuff. You know, he might come and play, you know, a melody or something, you know, but everybody has a piece. You know, Hossie is definitely good with arranging as far as vocals and stuff like that. He hears a lot of harmonies, and I think that comes from his background. Him and I have been singing together for years, you know, and we came from a gospel background. So basically, I think, you know, that there has helped us. And then Al, being that Al is a music major, you know, he was a music teacher. He retired after 35 years, but he was also the band director and musical director for Melba Moore back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know. So he has been around, and he has conducted basically most every major symphony orchestra in the United States. So that's what I'm saying, you know. So we have a good rounded team, you might as well say, you know, people that know what they're doing. So
okay. Now let's talk about one of the classics, Kiss and Say Goodbye. Who organized, wrote, and composed that song?
Well, that was on Blue Lovett, wrote that. And that's a funny story, because he tells it all the time in his interviews and things like that, that that song really wasn't for the Manhattans. He had wrote that song for a country western artist, such as a Glen Campbell or a Charlie Pride. And that song really stayed in the can for about a year after he had wrote it, you know. But the Manhattans needed another song to fill their album, which was self-titled, you know, the Manhattans. And they picked Kiss and Say Goodbye, and they told him that they wanted the Columbia Records, that's who they was under at the time, said that they wanted the Manhattans to do it. But Sonny, I know him and I had talked a lot about that, and Sonny said, Charlie said, I wasn't too keen on that song, man. He said, because it sounded too country and western. I was like, what direction we going in? You know, after doing R&B all along, and, you know, so it just happened that once it hit, it just took off. You know,
wow.
It just took off, because it was number one across the board, number one pop, number one R&B. It made the Guinness Book of World Records because it was the second double platinum single under the 7-inch when they was the 7-inch 45s, okay?
Wow.
And it's ironic that the first double platinum single 45 was by a label mate under the Columbia label that they were under, which was Johnny Taylor with Disco Lady. You see, so that year was a big year for Columbia as well as the artists there and stuff, you know. So I think they was pretty much ecstatic over that, you know. But it turned out to be one of the greatest songs, you know, ever sung, ever written, you know, by an artist. I'll put it to you that way, not only by man, but by an artist. You know, so we're just happy that it's part of the legacy of the man has.
It definitely is. And we're gonna do that right now, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. This is one of the Manhattan's classic, Kiss and Say Goodbye. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Here today for a bit of bad news. I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day, and since this is our last day together, I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. Thank you.
classic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember some things off of that song back in the days, but I don't want to get myself in no trouble. So, but what we're going to do is, Charles, we have a caller for you. So we're going to bring that caller in, all right?
Okay, no problem.
Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi,
yes.
Charles.
How you doing?
I'm doing very good right now.
Good.
That song right there.
Yes.
Is my favorite breakup song.
Hold it up. Your favorite wake-up song or your favorite breakup?
Breakup. B-R-E-A-K. U-P. My favorite breakup call.
Oh,
that, I mean, all actually, Manhattan, just, I don't know. Y'all have always been a good group of mine. I'm from back there in the day, so, you know, I can relate to it all. And, I mean, oh, my goodness. Actually, I got my best friend sitting here with me right now. We both were just sitting up here just going crazy when the song came on. Like, are you serious? But,
oh.
I mean, oh, my God. Were all of y'all songs meant to be love songs? I'm almost speechless because...
Well, we just appreciate that you enjoy, you know, our music and that, you know, that it does something for you and you know, that you continue to support not just us but all the classic soul artists, you know, because they've been out there for a long, long time. They're still doing what they're doing. They're doing it well. Some have passed on, so younger ones are trying to carry on the legacy, and we just thank everybody for, you know, keeping with us and supporting us like they do. You know, we're so happy.
Oh, wow, wow. So it's still all the original Manhattans too, right?
No, ma'am. The two originals that passed away was the original lead singer, which was George Smith. He passed away in 1970, and that's when Gerald Austin came in the group, and Richard Taylor passed away in 86. But he had left the group for religious purposes, like right after Kiss and Say Goodbye, matter of fact. He had left the group to become a minister. So, you know, he decided he wanted to go on that way, and the guys was 100% behind him, and, you know, they said, hey, we understand, you know. So he waited till he made it to the top, and then, he left. But Kenny Kelly, he's still living. He retired. Blue Lovett, he's still living. He had retired on kind of health reasons for a while, and then he got him and Gerald Austin got back together as the Manhattans featuring Blue Lovett and Gerald Austin, you know. And then Sonny, he's still going along, you know, but right now Sonny hasn't been with us for a while. He had two hip replacements, and I don't really know if they're really helping or anything, because he's still going through therapy and stuff like that, you know. So he has his good days, he has his bad days and stuff.
Right, and the moves that y'all make, you gotta have the hips for the moves that y'all be making.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Sonny, you know, he loves performing. So to ask him to come up on stage and sit on a stool or
not
sit in a
happen.
Wheelchair, please, he's going to tell you, no, I'm not doing that. You know? So we just pray and looking for him to return as fast as possible, so, you know.
Yes. I mean, you know, because his day will come back. He'll get back into the groove, you know, because somebody like that's, like, active and everything like that, it's going to take a lot to actually just keep them down.
True.
So, are you married?
Lord have mercy.
Well, that's a personal question, but I'm not going to answer that, because it's not about me. It's about the Manhattans.
All right, there you go.
Wait a minute. Well, I'll say it like this. Is it any single Manhattans?
Excuse me?
Is it any single Manhattans?
You know what?
Well, there you go again. See, I like how you are so persistent. You know, but I'm not going to answer that because I'm only one person. I can't answer for them.
I enjoy the show.
Okay, this is all I can say is when you see us perform, all right?
Okay.
Come up to the stage, hit Charles, remember? I'm the one
you better believe
radio.
I will.
Then ask each individual.
Will.
Yeah. You can ask each one of them why they better. Then I let them answer for themselves.
And you won't know what you're doing because, see, you telling me to come up there and ask. Trust and believe, I will ask.
Well, Charles,
it was seriously, it was a pleasure speaking with you, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
Group, like I say, is hands down, you know, always have been a great group, still a great group, you know. And I don't think that, you know, your songs will never, ever get old to me or a lot of other people.
Well, thank you so much.
You know,
and
keep up the good work, you know, and I will be sending out prayers and, you know, saying special prayers for your boy,
to regain
his strength back, you know, so he can do what he's been doing.
Right. We appreciate that.
And,
thank
you
so much. You
know, keep God first and keep up the good
always.
Work.
Always, okay.
All right.
And you and your friend could go back and start screaming, but don't kiss the sacred vibration. No, kiss the sacred vibration stuff, okay?
Just to believe we going to, because we going in tonight.
Okay.
This is a great show, you know, and like I said, GQ Palace got it going on, period.
Okay. Yes.
You know. So, you have a great night and a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye now.
We have another call on the line for you, Charles. We're going to bring that caller in.
Sure. No problem.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. My name is Janie Brown. I'm from Brooklyn. And I just want to say that the Manhattans have always been my favorite group. I'm 65 years old, and I still groove to the groove.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So we never get tall. I'm always one with the classics. They don't make music like they used to.
No, they don't.
So I'm from the old school and love all the old school music.
Well, that's
but
cool.
I just want to say
that.
I just want to say thank you for your music. Great.
Well, we want to say thank you for supporting the music. Not only of the Manhattans, but of all the great classic soul groups.
Of course, I have most of them.
Yeah, we appreciate
that. Was the first thing when CDs first started out. What did you think? I first got all the old classics on the CDs, you know? So I just want to thank you for some great music.
Thank
I'm not
going to so
keep
much.
You as long as the last caller because she was trying to rap there. And get all the personal.
Well, you know how it is. We love them all. We love them all. You know. And,
yes,
and
indeed.
We're just
but
so
I,
happy, you know, they support us and everything. So that's
yeah,
great.
But
hey.
God is good, so I'm going to pray for the ones that are sick.
Oh
and,
yes.
And
yeah.
I want to tell you, thank you for the music.
Okay,
and that's
thank
from
you
my
so
heart.
Much. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and keep up the good work.
Okay, we will.
All right. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Okay,
have a good night.
You too.
All right. We have another caller for you, Charles. We're going to bring
that
caller on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. You have Charles Hardy on the line.
Charles Hardy from Manhattan. How you doing, brother?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. You know, your music is a classic. It will live forever and ever and ever, man, until, like, forever. You know what I mean? Some of your music, I'm kind of young. You know, but I want to tell you, I don't know about this song being a break, but I know if I'm breaking up with my girl, this is the first song I'm going to put on. I'm going to turn out to be all right.
Well, you know, it's funny because each song or, you know, different people have different things, you know, and that song might have been perfect for that lady, you know, for what she wanted it for, but then other songs might be perfect for other people, you know.
Right.
So we're just happy that not just the old, but the young, the middle-aged, the kids, the grandparents, the great-great-grandparents, all of them enjoy the music, because that's what it's about. It's about the music, you know. And as long as music is here and we are on this earth, hopefully it will stay. You know, hopefully it will stay. And we're just happy that everybody supports us and the classic soul groups that are out there, you know.
Okay, cool. I need to know this one thing. Sorry, GQ, God's need one. When you sing your songs, it's like, you know, when I listen to it, I can, it's almost like I feel like I'm Manhattan, you know, and I get all emotional, start when the bus, the moves and everything. So what I'm saying is, like, how do you feel when you sing a song? Do you feel it? Like, do you really feel it? Like, do you become part of that song? Are you wearing it?
Well, you have to, because when, for instance, when you're out in the audience and you look at an artist, you know, you can tell if they're into what they're doing or if it's just another payday. I'll put it to you like that, you know. But believe me, when we go on that stage, we go on that stage just like it's our last time out there. And every song that we sing is coming from the heart, because, believe me, those songs was written that way, from the heart. They was written because things that might have happened in a person's life, you know, or something that they saw somebody else go through or something like that. So it was the love and the caring for the mold the songs. So it's the love and the caring for us to deliver the songs. You know, so yes, it definitely is a heartfelt thing. Yes, it is.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
Charles, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, now let me ask you, as you being in the group with the Manhattans, you know, what do you want your soul message to be to your fans? What mark would you like to leave for the people?
My message to the public, to my family, to my friends, to just people in general, is keep the music alive. You know, we are on this earth for, we put it this way, our time is very limited. You know, we don't have time for the drama and this, that, and the other, and all this other stuff that's going on in the world today. You know, so if you keep in your heart what you love, and everybody loves music, just keep it in your heart, you know, and that's it. You know, I'm not a person that I feel is a role model. You know what I'm saying? I don't consider myself a role model, you know, because everybody can tell a story, what they did, what they didn't do, and you know, like that, man. So my thing is this, you know, I'm here with a God-gifted talent, which is my voice. So I'm just trying to spread my talent so people can be happy, so they can enjoy. They might come to a show and can forget about what happened before they came to the show. And if it's only for those few minutes, then I've done my job. See, I've done my job.
All right. Now, what's the latest project? Excuse me. What's the latest project y'all working on?
Well, right now we're in the studio. That's why I'm the only one that's doing the interview, because the other guys are in the studio now. We're working on a new CD. We're about four songs into it. We're being produced by a very, very, very good friend of ours, Leroy Burton, who is one of the members of one of the original members of Black Ivy, the group Black Ivy. You know, we have known him for years, but Sonny and I had approached Leroy in the early 90s when we was doing a tour, a package tour, and they was on the bill with us, and we had asked them, would he consider producing a song for us, you know, and he had said, oh, sure. He said, anytime, just get in touch with me, you know, and it took a while, but it seemed like when we was ready to go in, you know, I called Sonny up, and Sonny said, Charles, what's Leeway doing? I said, well, Sonny, Black Ivy just put out a new CD. I said, so I don't know. He might be traveling, promoting it. I said, I'm hoping that, you know, he's available. I said, let me give him a call. And I gave him a call, and he said, Charles, he said, look, we are promoting the new CD, and, you know, he said, I may have some time. You know, he said, I don't know, but I'm going to try to fit you in my busy schedule. And sure enough, it happened that he could. You know, it's like we might go in 2 weeks at a time, and then he has to do his thing, and then we'll come back again and do maybe 2 weeks like that. So since January, we've been working on it, so we're 4 songs into the CD now, you know, and I think it's going to be something for everybody on it. And you know, they enjoy it.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it one bit. I know it's going to be something for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let's talk about another classic by the Manhattan, Shining Star.
Oh.
What's the scenario behind that classic single?
Well, that was written by a gentleman in Chicago, Leo Graham. He also wrote Never Find Another Like You. He also wrote that. And that was also on the After Midnight album with Shining Star. Shining Star was on that album too. You know, that was a great song. You know, as you know, that was the Grammy Award winning song for the Manhattans.
Exactly.
Yeah, which was Shining Star. So, I mean, you know, Jubilation, I guess it was where, you know, once it happened, it was like they had reached the very top. I mean, you know, the gold records, the platinum records, the million sellers, all that's all well and good. But, you know, getting a Grammy is like, that's it for artists. You know, that's just like if you won an NBA championship or if you won the Stanley Cup or if you won a World Series, you know. So, I mean, it's the pinnacle of your profession. So, yeah, great song. Great song. Great writer, too. Oh, yeah. Leo is definitely a great writer.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
We're definitely gonna get into that. We're gonna get into that right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another classic by the Manhattans, Shining Star. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Honey, you
Yeah, Charles.
Yes, sir.
Manhattans ain't no joke, man. They definitely ain't no joke. They definitely got that love feel, too.
Oh, yeah.
When you hear music like that, it definitely brings back memories.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, the classic groups, you know, when you go and see 70 Soul Jam show, or you go see a classic soul show or something like that, man, it's just the love that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because those shows are always sold out. Always sold out, man, you know. And that in itself shows you that this music isn't going anywhere. You know?
That's staying no matter what. That type of nowhere at all. Now, let me ask you, you know, in your era, did y'all all know each other as kids, or did you just, you know, how did you manage to get into the group?
Oh, well, geez, that's a long story. No. I myself was the valet for the Manhattans in the late 70s, like 78, 79, 80, 81. You know, I had met Sonny as a teenager. My cousin was there, Scooter Collins. He was there, their valet, and he wanted to bring me on the road with them, you know, because he needed help at that time. You know, so he said, my mother, he said, Aunt Dot, could, you know, Charles come with me on the road? And she said, well, I don't know, Scooter, you know. She said, you're going to have somebody call me, you know. She said, because I don't know. You get that boy out there and no telling what might happen, you know. So he asked Sonny, and Sonny called my mother, and he asked her, you know, could I come on the road with them to help Scooter, and definitely he would look out for me. He didn't have to worry about anything, you know. And sure enough, she said, yeah, and I went on the road with him, and he sure enough looked out for me. You know, he looked out for me and stuff. So what happened was that after I was with them for about 3-4 years, and, you know, I came back home and everything, and I just started back where I had stopped from, which was I was singing gospel at the time, you know, myself and R.C. Hemphill. Because like I told you before, we had been singing ever since we was kids. He was 5 and I was 7 when we first started singing together, because his family had a quartet group. And I sang in that group, you know, with him. So we were just doing studio work and everything. And then one day I got a call from Scooter, and he said, Charles, he said, look, he said, Blue and Kenny retired, you know, and Roger Harris, he was a gentleman that had taken Gerald Austin's place when Gerald had left to go solo back in 87, 88. So he said they have to get a group together because Sonny has all these performances. And basically, he signed a contract, you know, so he's liable. So it's only Roger and Sonny. So they're looking to audition people. You know, so he asked me, was you still singing? And I told him, yeah. So he said, look, can you make it next Tuesday? This was like on a Saturday. And he said, can you make it Tuesday? I said, sure, no problem, you know. And I told Hossie, I said, look, we're going to go to an audition. I said, Sonny is looking for guys, you know. I said, because the other members retired and this, that, and the other. It's only him and the lead singer. And, you know, he's looking for people. So, okay. So we went to Sonny's house, and we auditioned for him, and he said, okay, look, the following Tuesday, he said, we're going to have rehearsal with the band. Meet me in Harlem down on 120th Street at PNP Studios. Mr. King is, you know, he's the owner there and stuff, but he's a very good friend of ours, and he's the manager for the Legendary Intruders. So we met him down there, and we rehearsed, and that locked us in. You know, that was like about the beginning of 1990, right, coming right out of the holiday, you know, out of Christmas, New Year holiday and stuff. And right at the beginning, we started rehearsing. And then Al Pizzano, our bass singer,
Sonny has said, you know, I got a bass man. I think I could work with him and bring him in, you know. And about 2 weeks later, he had brung Alan, and it just seemed like it was just made, just like a hand in glove, man, you know. And next thing you know, we was on stage because about March of that year, that's when the first show started. You know, and we was ready. We was ready. And the first show, first show with the Westbury Music Fair, and I never will forget it, we was with Ray Goodman and Brown, God bless, rest in peace, Harry Ray and Al Goodman, because it was them, it was the Dells, rest in peace, Johnny Carter, you know, and it was the Chalets. Rest in peace, Squirrel and Eugene, you know, it's just something incredible, you know, because Marshall, I just talked to him the other day, you know, and he's doing so well, you know, and being that they remade the Satellite song, I think Beyonce and Kanye West, they sampled one of the Satellite songs, you know, and it's doing very well, you know. I think it was on Beyonce's last CD, if I'm not mistaken. But it just gelled from there. But Sonny had always said, he said, Charles, he said, there was a gentleman that we asked to come into the group, and he was like in the brother group under the same label we was under the Carnival label. He said when Smitty got sick, we had asked this gentleman to come and take Smitty's place, and he was like an understudy to him. His name was Lee Williams, but Lee had a group called Lee Williams and the Cymbals, and they was a brother group on the Carnival label to the Manhattans, and Lee had promised his group that he wouldn't leave. So when they approached him and asked him would he come with them, he declined, and they got this gentleman that was a solo artist under the Carnival label to fill in. He happened to be Blue's cousin, which was his name was Flood. That his last name was Flood. Phil Flood. You know. So it was where he did fill in, and then while they was doing the Black College tour down through the South, they stopped at Kittrell College. And that's where they had met Gerald Austin, you see, because Gerald's group was, I think it was called the New Imperials, and they was opening up for the Manhattans that night, but the Manhattans needed a sound system, and Gerald and his group had a sound system, so they heard Gerald as he was testing out the sound system, you know, and they approached him, and they asked him, did he want to be in the group, you know, And at that time, you know, I guess, you know, you're so secure with the confines of where you're at, you know, at a young age, too, because you're talking, you know, he couldn't have been no more than 19, 20 years old, you know, and these guys that you don't know, they're asking you, you know, to come join that group. I mean, you know, you got to think twice. So I guess he maybe went and talked to his parents and stuff, and he declined also. But as fate would have it, you know, Smitty passed away the 16th of December, 1970, and within a month's time, Gerald was on stage with him. He was on stage with the Manhattan and stuff, man. So, hey, like they say, the rest is history, you know.
Yeah. Hey, well, what I want to do, because we're running out of time, I want to play one more classic by the Manhattans.
Okay.
I'll Never Find Another Like You.
Yeah, yeah. That was
Tell us a little bit about
saying,
that real fast.
Well, that's what I was saying before, that Leo Graham, he also wrote that one, too. He also wrote that song also, you know, which was on the After Midnight album also with Shining Star. So, great song.
All right, we're going to get into that right now.
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas, here's one more classic by that fabulous group, the Manhattans. I'll Never Find Another Like You. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Butter baby.
I'll never find
To the audience, you know, so they can hear what's going on with the Manhattans?
Oh, yeah, you can always go on Facebook and The Manhattans. Just type in The Manhattans on Facebook. You can go to our websites, which is www.myspace.com/The Manhattan Style, or either just go to our main official website, which is www.themanhattans.net. And, those three, they are just Google in The Manhattans, and you know what I mean? You know, you can get anything you want right there.
All right. Is there any shout-outs you want to give, Charles?
Well, first of all, to all the Manhattan family, we want to say, you know, thank you to all the people that have supported us over the years. Definitely want to shout-out to our big brothers, Gerald and Blue, and to Sonny, definitely get well soon. Our honorary road manager. He was the original road manager for the Manhattans back in 64, and he still is a part of the Manhattan family, and he still is involved with us to this day. His name is Mr. Toy Cates Jr. You know, we wishing him a recovery because he just got out the hospital just the other day. So we're wishing him a recovery. And we just wishing the best to everybody. And thank God to our producer, Leroy Burgess, that he did have the time. The time permitted him to do this project with us. Because, like I said, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to really enjoy it.
I know
we are. Definitely, last but not least, our marketing manager, Mr. Sharon Cadeus, definitely without her, a lot of things wouldn't come to fruition. You know, she has been just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I think she had contacted you, I think, you know, for this interview here and stuff, you know, but she's just magic. She just does wonders, man, you know. And thank you so much for having me and the Manhattans, you know, on your radio show. Just keep it going, man, because you're doing it well, you know. Much love to you, man. Much love to you and much success.
Thanks a lot, saying to you. It's definitely an honor having you on, Charles.
Well,
you know you're welcome anytime. It's never a problem.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right.
Okay,
Charles Hardy from the Manhattans, Dons and Divas. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank Brian Donovan with the GQ question. I want to thank up-and-coming artist GQ, a.k.a. Q Public. I also want to thank our special guest appearance, Charles Hardy from the Manhattans. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I also want to thank Reverend Edmund Thomas and Reverend Kathy Holland and Minister Joseph Hazel for coming in and interacting with us in our GQ General Question. I want to give a shout-out to my niece, Imadi Simmons. She'll be 12 years old Sunday. I want to give her a shout-out. Also, don't forget to tune in to GQ Palace Radio, Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas on Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m., a grown and sexy adult segment. You don't want to miss it. Now, this is the last part of our show. This is GQ Palace. Tune in next weekend for another special guest appearance. Have a safe and blessed weekend. I'm your host, Rich Money. This is Love and Entertainment, where dreams come
it's
true.
It's butter, baby!
For show.
Please believe it. Please believe me. Please believe me. Like Nas and Belly, y'all, I'm so sincere. Affiliated with these bars like that TV show shit. Rappers think they on my bumper till I ship these gifts. Yeah, proceed a bad mother like Susan Smith. Like a bee, but I love her with if dad used rubbers. Or there was no Cat Creek, or moms never recovered. I'd be dead or in jail. Y'all, that's so real. What if I say the shot to never step foot in the veil? Or if I never got expelled when that shorty told the lie? Back when I was running point for the MTS squad. Jumper so sick, handles perfect. First step was so quick, and could finish no assist. What if I didn't live on the block in the early 90s? Introduced to that crack rock, now we a dime beat. See too many fall tragically, just another hood story. I know the Lord won't put more I can bear on me. If I went to the army and never got discharged, stayed as a veteran, never did make charge. Seen two wars, home and abroad. To all my fellow vets, active duty in the guard. Past the present, I applaud. What up, battle partners? Sidney Hosey, Eddie Jenkins, and Raymond Foster. What if that gun didn't jam and then 50 went blam? And Kuta Kente got away when he ran. What if I wasn't this good? Will I still want to spit? Would society be any different without us on them boat trips? What if Martin wouldn't have got hit? Or JFK had a sunroof and his brother's vest bulletproof? This is hip-hop soul, I don't rap no more. Only adore suit, don't promote crap no more. Whoever gets offended, that's who that same for. Go hard or sell dope, we all rode the same boat. How this heifer gon' question when it's positive message? That movement they own, such a negative effort. What if course the live cell phones, cultural expressions, cultural confession, and that's a you do you. Why these dudes persist a lie, they need an image consultant. Acting like some monkeys, y'all their music's insulting. Since when it's become cool to sound ignorant, but oh, your kid's smart, you're such a hypocrite. I get it now.
prestigious LP. Salute. Shot City. G Burrow. Worldwide. Salute.